The Defense Information Systems Agency has had a constant mission for decades, yet the way it delivers constantly changes as communications technologies change. DISA recently released its strategic plan covering the next 5 years. It spells out the agency's operating principles and strategic goals. Tony Montemorano is DISA's executive deputy director. He told me more of what's in the plan and why it starts by pointing out DISA is at an operational crossroads.
It's a way of saying that our operational environment is exploding. We're expanding our role in the Department of Defense from an operational perspective, specifically exemplified by the establishment now of the Joint Force Headquarters for DOTAN. And we'll be taking on a mission with an expanded role inside the Pentagon itself in support of the various services and agencies that reside in the building. So we're changing. We're expanding our role in the operational world while adjusting the workforce to that mission area.
And so it sounds like you're replacing the Army, basically. Is that what's going on?
Not exactly. What's happened is the Army shares a role with the Washington Headquarters Service, and we're taking pieces of that and bringing it together and focusing on economies of scale, but also operations itself. So we're taking pieces. The specific manner in which it comes to pass and the like, that's still in negotiations. What's the right thing? How's the best way we can serve those tenants within the building? That's what we're working on right now.
All right, let's get to the bigger question, and that is the main strategic goals outlined in this plan. Looks like some of the legacy applications and operations might be coming to an end.
Well, not exactly. This is a plan that shows focus. There are some things that'll be slowing down and focus shifting. But if you look at the first one, provide global infrastructure, that's been DCA and now DISA's bread and butter. That is what we have been doing for years, providing that wide area joint communications infrastructure, that computing infrastructure that serves the department at large. That's our foundational mission. It's characterized a little bit differently here. It's consistent with the joint information environment construct. So that's pretty much the same in the sense that it's the same mission set. However, embracing new technologies and moving forward is obviously the only thing that makes any sense. Provide mission partner and leadership support. That focuses more on national level leadership. That mission set, it continues to evolve as we try to ensure uninterrupted service for our president and the combatant commanders. And then lastly, the command and control in cyberspace, that's back to that operational crossroads, and that is the fact that we are continuing to expand our operational footprint, if you will, in support of, again, the department, and establishing a structure in support of U.S. Cyber Command so as to stand up to the ever-challenging environment of cyberspace.
And I've read a lot about efficiency in the report. Efficiency is always a good thing. This report seems to really strongly emphasize efficiency. Is that because of rising costs or tight budgets for operations?
Certainly rising costs are a factor, but the fact of the matter is we're in a post-conflict environment for the most part. There's still activity, certainly, but the Department of Defense is coming down in budgets, and what we're doing at DISA is we've got an obligation to the military departments to keep our services that we provide them at lowest cost as we possibly can. So we're constantly trying to find areas of duplication, inefficiencies, et cetera. Part and parcel to our reorganization is, of course, every reorganization is required to knock down stovepipes. At least we say that. Well, in point of fact, in this reorganization, we have. We've knocked down stovepipes, and we've uncovered duplication between stovepipes, and we're trying our best to optimize that, bring those together so at a reduced cost, but yet as effective as ever. And that's our focus.
And one other point I wanted to ask you about is that it seems like the cybersecurity part of the mission and the communications part, those have become fairly inseparable?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. When we say communications and cybersecurity, you have your collaboration, all of that together. Again, it's facilitating the mission of the warfighter. That's what we're here for, and the warfighter has to have reliable communications, collaboration capability, and the only way to do that in this day and age is you have to guarantee that the infrastructure is always there for the warfighter, especially given the remoteness of our activity where everybody is homing into central servers. We have to ensure we have protected communications.
We're speaking with Tony Montemorano. He is Executive Deputy Director of the Defense Information Systems Agency. And also in the strategic plan, you have a fairly extensive technology watch list at DISA. What are the main items on that one?
Well, one of the biggest areas that we're focusing on is the next generation in communications, software-defined networks, to be specific. We're trying to come to grips with, okay, how are we going to introduce that into the deployed infrastructure? We have a globally deployed infrastructure that has to be there, 7x24. We don't have an opportunity to turn it off to change it out. So consequently, how do you bring in this new technology? So it's software-defined networks is one. Mobility, we call it mobility cell phone activity. We have to come to grips with the fact that everything is migrating to the cell phone. And therefore, how do we make that come to pass? So that's the two biggest areas we are interested in. Certainly, the modernization of storage, moving cybersecurity to the next level. And then lastly, which is a personal focus of mine, and that is net operations. Okay, how do we ensure that infrastructure is there? You just can't turn away from it. You've got to be watching it all the time, and you've got to be anticipating the disruptions to the infrastructure so as to guarantee it is always there when necessary.
And you also mentioned the JRSS. Tell us what that is and its importance.
Now, the Joint Regional Security Stack is a fundamental element of the joint information environment. And what the regional security stack is a combination of devices that are positioned at key central locations, and those devices protect the remote bases or distant bases. So you, instead of having every single base protect itself at its perimeter, instead of each base doing it, what we do is we're setting it up in a central location and is guarding for multiple bases. The beauty of that is we are monitoring the traffic, protecting the base level itself, centralizing the collection of the information, and providing that into a big data database, if you will, and making it available for U.S. Cyber Command. So what this does is gives U.S. Cyber Command an improved method of being able to see what is transpiring and to execute blocking decisions, et cetera, as necessary to protect the environment. So it's a centralized, it's a regionalization, it's sometimes called, of our security protection mechanisms.
But at the same time, are you able to make sure that the localities, those people right on the ground, wherever they might be, can make sure they're on top of their own cybersecurity and feed in maybe to the larger network and share some of that threat information?
Absolutely. But the fact of the matter is the methodology that we're using with the JRSS should be able to facilitate an improved situational awareness for the on-base users as well. Knowing that base A is having a problem at base B gives base B the opportunity to anticipatory actions to protect itself. But we are trying to relieve the bases of the need for specialists, cyber specialists, and so as to reduce the burden on the military departments. We are trying to relieve that. Now, we're not going to eliminate it, but we're trying to ease it so that we can more centrally manage it and allow them to have the soldiers, sailors, and airmen focus on other things.
And more is happening in space for the Air Force and for a lot of agencies. What are the main challenges in space communications and, I guess, by extension, protecting those communications in space and satellites?
Okay, for the most part, DISA, other than providing contractual vehicles to reach satellite solutions, meaning specifically circuit solutions or connectivity solutions, we are focused more on the acquisition of vehicles, if you will. As far as protection of the telemetry, of pathing, that's been accomplished, so we're in good shape there. The the efforts to bring military and commercial SATCOM together, that's a larger issue that I'll defer to others to try to explain and deal with. But nonetheless, our challenge is we've been trying to get the best solutions we can given the market, and we've teamed with GSA to put a good contract on the ground that has proven fairly effective.
And in that strategic plan, Lieutenant General Hawkins mentions reorganization. What is the to-be state for DISA under reorganization versus what it looks like now?
Okay, for the most part, the to-be state is articulated in the documentation we provide. The issue is with any major change, it takes time for the people of the organization to adapt to the new way of doing business. Rather than being strictly programmatically focused, stovepipe focused, if you will, we've gone to more functional focus, which we believe will give us more agility and allow us to ferret out the inefficiencies within the agency. It's going to take time. We implemented effective the 11th of January of this year, and we haven't gone through a complete budget cycle, a development cycle, so it's going to take a little time. But what you see in our documentation today is what we hope will be the end state. That's not to preclude us from doing a little adjusting here or there to address things we've missed, but generally speaking, what you see is what we intend on being, and we expect that we will be a much more agile and responsive organization.